Going to have a reading, Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 14. A fairly complex passage, as a lot of the passages in Romans are. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Thank God for this reading. And may God, through the power of God's Holy Spirit, help us to understand and to interpret this word. I think probably what I was saying to the young people earlier on kind of sums up what I want to say here today for a few minutes. I'm going to share with you a few thoughts about this passage. Then we have a time of reflection, a time where we can sing a verse or two, and then share with you a few more thoughts. Going to split things up a little bit like that this morning. Because this is heavy stuff. It's heavy. Romans is full of heavy content. It is. It's heavy. It's heavy theology. It's Paul as the theologian par excellence, really, in Romans. Some of these other writings are a bit more lightweight. I'm not trying to trivialize anything, but a bit more lightweight theologically. But this is heavy theologically. Romans is quite heavy. At the end of Romans chapter 5, Paul says, just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness. And at the beginning of chapter 6, Paul, in reflections, asks, what then shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so that God's grace may increase? You know, if we've got God's grace, God's salvation in our lives, should we go on sinning? And Paul's obviously conscious that in the church, in Romans, there are people who think this. There are people who live this way. The people who think that because God has shown God's love through Christ, well, they have God's love anyway, so it doesn't matter what they do. Paul's conscious of this. And he's saying, no. You cannot live as you used to live if you're now in Christ. You cannot simply do anything you want. You don't have carte blanche in that sense. Your life has been changed. You've been converted. You've turned around. You're going in a new direction. Albeit in a higgledy-piggledy fashion sometimes, but you're going in a new direction. So by no means can you continue in sin. Paul's quite strong with this. There have been a few individuals in history, either actual individuals or fictitious individuals, who have thought that it didn't matter how sinful you were in your life, because God's grace would abound. I'm sure we've all heard of Rasputin, the so-called mad monk who lived from 1872 to 1916 at the time, which led up to the revolution in Russia, and how much damage Rasputin did in the Orthodox Church and indeed in the royal family, because I understand that Alexandra Tsarina was quite taken by Rasputin and his way of life. And that's what Rasputin believed. He believed he could be as sinful as he wanted because God loved him anyway. God's grace would abound. But here in Romans chapter 6, Paul's saying, no way, by no means can we be like that. Our lives have to change. Our lives must be different. And looking at fiction, the story of Robinson Crusoe, if you read that story or seen the endless TV series that was on in the 60s and 70s that went on and they showed about half a dozen times on TV, you know that Robinson Crusoe met, he was alone on an island, shipwrecked, but he met someone that he called Man Friday. And he shared the gospel with Man Friday, and Man Friday became a Christian. And then he just sat around doing nothing all day, doing what he wanted. Because he said, well, if God loves me anyway, God loves me because it's because God loves me, and it doesn't matter what I do, God will love me anyway and forgive me. And so Robinson had the problem of putting forward the fact that this wasn't quite true, the way he grasped things. So can we simply continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul says, by no means can we do that. Because we have a new life in the gospel. We have the responsibility to live out our lives as best we can through the power of God's Holy Spirit as we live in this world. For those who have experienced new life in Christ, there are still consequences concerning our actions. And we've heard only too much of people who have used their positions within the church, whether it be Roman Catholic or Protestant, but people have used those positions to carry out some horrendous actions. Some things that I don't necessarily want to mention this morning, but really have been irresponsible and done terrible things by abusing their power within the church. Paul knows that in the Roman church, as with many other churches, there were those that lived in this way. They weren't living the life that they should have been in Christ. And he says, by no means we died to sin. Christ died for us, and that death has been for us. We've identified with that death. And he uses the theme of Christ's death, he uses the theme of baptism as well. Because when we take the step of baptism, we are in a sense being buried with Christ. We are identifying with Christ's death and its meaning for us. And as we rise up out of the waters of baptism, we are rising up to newness of life. Not a repeat of the life we once lived before we were converted, before we confronted Christ. But we are rising up to a new life. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with them like this in Jesus' death, we will certainly also be united with them in his resurrection. So in the act of baptism, it's act of discipleship. We've identified with Christ. We've identified with that death. In going down into the water, in being lowered into the water, we are identifying with Christ's death. We are dying to sin, and we are raising up in newness of life. And our resurrection, in a sense, hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened yet. Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection has happened. Our resurrection will happen, but we are in the not yet stage, if you want. We're in that stage where we're learning to be more like Christ. And it involves stumbling. It involves falling a few times. And I certainly haven't got it perfectly. It involves falling down quite a few times and getting up again and carrying on, because God's love remains with us. God is merciful and loving towards us. So we need to find that plan I was talking about. You know, it doesn't just go like that. It's not a straight line. And sometimes we can make our plans. And we have to do that. We have to pray about things. We have to find our way in the Christian faith. But sometimes we may come up against a stumbling block, if you want. And we might find that the way that we were going isn't necessarily the way God wants us to go. But it's okay. Because no matter what mistakes we make in life, I think we always need to see Christ before us saying, come back to me. Come back to me. It's all right. Come back to me. But walking that kind of pilgrimage is a different walk from the person who, like Rasputin, just says, I can do what I like. God will still love me. That's not a life which has been reborn in Christ. So in identifying with Christ's death through baptism, we're identifying with the life that Christ lived. We're identifying with his obedience to God, even to the point of death. We're saying that this was the right way to live. And we look at the story of Jesus. It means that his conflict with the religious institution of the time, his chasing the traders out of the temple, his conflict with the Roman authorities and Jewish authorities, we're saying really that that's right. We're identifying with that. Because he remained faithful to God. And in doing so, in remaining faithful to God, he refused to sin. He refused to disobey God. He remained faithful to God. And for this, God raised him up from the dead. Christ's death was a death for us. Because in this death, God makes possible the new. And so in verse 5 of Romans chapter 6, we're told that we've been united with Christ. United has, in a sense, the meaning of grafting. Grafting. Anyone here know anything about roses? You know something about roses? You graft a rose, don't you? Graft.
Onto the
yeah. Graft it.
Onto a dog rose.
Yeah. It's quite a skilled process. Yeah. But this idea of grafting and creating a new rose, yeah. I remember someone telling me about it up in Aberdeen, a friend of ours who grows roses up there, and talking about the grafting process. I know nothing about roses or flowers or gardens. I love gardens. I also love the other people who do the work. I love that. I love that. I'm also not a very good DIY man, you know, more cranial in my abilities, I think. But this idea of grafting, being grafted, joining together. We think of surgeons who graft skin, you know, skin grafts. I think plastic surgery was originally developed, you know, to help people who were burned, war wounded, or people who were burned, the grafting of skin. Of course, plastic surgery has become something else nowadays, but the skill that involves, not an easy process. It's It's a skill. You know, I think grafting roses, it takes a knowledge, it takes a skill, a practical skill. And it's something you need to be shown how to do it. You need someone else, in a sense, who knows about it to take control. Certainly I do. I need someone to show me how to do these things. And we, you know, the story is we need God. We need God to do the grafting, really, to help us, to give us the success, if you want, to give us the target. And it will be, the road will be higgledy-piggledy, it will be up and down. We will stumble, we will fall. But God remains loving and merciful and will pick us up again. But that's a road where we keep trying and slowly we go through this grafting process of being joined closer to God. You know, closer to God. And that happens, I think, as the obstacles within our lives are slowly removed and taken away. And it's not a matter like Rasputin or when Man Friday got it wrong. It's not a matter of just living any way we like. We have to keep trying. I'm conscious also of Paul's, when he talks elsewhere, and I cannot remember the text at the moment, but when he talks about praying constantly, you know. My wife tells me, I talk to myself. I said, no, I was talking to God. And I try as much as I can during the day to pray constantly. I believe this wholeheartedly. I used to look at that. How can you pray constantly to God? How can you do it constantly? Sure, I've got to teach during the day. I've got to do this during the day. I've got to talk to people. But in my mind, I'm praying constantly. And I've shared with you the prayer I say before. Shared with you 2 or 3 months ago, back in November, I think. I just say a simple prayer when I'm feeling negative about something or I'm feeling angry or feeling frustrated. I say the prayer, I'm sorry, I love you, please forgive me, and thank you. Simple as that, say it to God. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you. And I keep saying that throughout the day, you know, in Christ's name, keep saying that. And you'll all have your own ways of doing that. You don't have to copy my prayer or anything like that. You all have your own ways of praying constantly. And I think that's so important. So often we just pray when, you know, if there's someone we're worried about. Certainly my mother's not well at the moment and praying about her constantly. But so often we just do it when there's a crisis. But pray constantly, even if it's just being thankful for the very fact of life. Life in Christ. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. I've probably made Romans 6 a lot simpler than it is when you read it. But that's what it's about. It's about living in Christ, identifying with Christ's death. And we will one day be raised. That's a tremendous reality. But we live in the not yet. It's coming, but we live in the not yet. And in that not yet period, sometimes we may get tied up in a few knots, but God is there to get us out. You know, God is there because God loves us and will get us out of these things. And certainly I feel just as much as anyone else, oh my goodness, what a crisis to be in. What a terrible situation. But the more we learn to give these situations to God, to pray constantly about these matters in our lives, then slowly we will be grafted. Become closer to God. This idea of grafting was the image that hit me out of this passage. Grafting, coming closer to God.